Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today my co-host is Brian Bosick. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Megan.
So in today's episode, we're going to get into some of the details of employment benefits with a specific focus on health insurance and retirement benefits, because these two types of benefits might be offered by your employer, but they can also be so confusing. The language alone when talking about benefits is tricky because there's all this new terminology, right? So there's premium, deductible, employer match, out of pocket. So just a lot to cover.
And to help us break down what it all means, we've brought in a guest. Nick Ekstrom is the benefits manager here in the GVSU Human Resources Department. Hi, Nick, and thanks for joining us. Could you give us a brief introduction of yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Megan and Brian. I'm really excited to be here. Like you said, Megan, like benefits are just kind of a whole new horizon for people entering the workforce to figure out. So excited to talk about this topic. And yeah, I've been working in the benefits office here at Grand Valley for 7 years now.
Okay.
And before that, I was working in a payroll position. So and I'm a Grand Valley grad. So
okay. Mom too.
Yeah,
perfect.
Exactly. It was cool coming to work at Grand Valley, kind of like returning home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good deal. So yeah, let's dig in because we're trying to cover a lot, I think, in a short amount of time here. Let's start with health insurance if we can.
Okay.
So I guess, can you just start and, you know, full disclosure, and Brian and I were talking about this before, we feel like we know enough from like a personal perspective because we've, you know, had our own health insurance for a while, been working for a while, have our own retirement plans, but we're really excited for you to be the expert and like really teach us all of this. So can you kind of just start with what types of health plans a company or organization might offer?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ones. And I think the ones that you're going to see most when you're out on the job hunt are going to be PPOs, high deductible health plans, or HDHPs, and HMOs.
Okay.
And really kind of what to expect with each of those. If you're going into an HMO, it's going to be like really managed care. You're going to have like a primary care physician.
Okay.
And they're basically, if you need to go see a cardiologist, they're going to tell you what cardiologist you have to go to.
Okay.
So
okay.
Kind of the health insurance landscape has kind of been getting away from HMOs a little bit.
Yeah.
PPOs have become more popular, and that's kind of more open network. So you have a lot more choice in who you're going to for your care. You're able to really see whatever provider you want as long as you can make an appointment.
Great.
And then also high deductible health plans, or HDHPs, those have really just been skyrocketing in popularity over the last decade or so. They're structured as PPO plans, but there's a higher deductible that you're going to be responsible for before the plan starts paying benefits.
Okay.
So it's kind of called like consumer-driven healthcare. It's supposed to kind of make you a better healthcare shopper since you're responsible for a larger chunk of your healthcare needs right out of the gate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So what are some of those factors that someone should be considering when they're looking at a health plan, either pre-employment, like maybe you're really doing good research, or when you actually have a job offer in hand and they're saying, here's what we can offer you.
Okay. Yeah. So there's going to be, I'm going to throw some healthcare lingo at you.
That's
we're ready.
Helpful in understanding these plans. So probably the two most important pieces to look at are going to be what the deductible is for the plan and what the premium is going to be for the plan. So what the deductible is, that's what you have to pay for out of pocket each year before the health plan is going to start paying any of your expenses. So if you are in a high deductible health plan, for instance, and there's a $3,000 deductible, that means that every year, the first $3,000 of your medical expenses, you will be paying. The insurance isn't going to cover anything until you've met that $3,000 deductible.
So then it's possible that you might not even reach your deductible.
Absolutely.
Like hopefully, knock on wood, you're healthy and maybe you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I always like to say the deductible's not a target. It's more of a safety net.
That's wonderful. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's great.
Well said.
If you don't meet it, that's great. That means you were relatively healthy. But and then really the other important factor to consider, you know, if you're maybe looking at two different job offers you're choosing between, and you know, you've gotten your hands on the benefits information, is what the premium is going to be mm-hmm. to be enrolled in their plan. Mm-hmm. So and the premium is that's what they're going to be the employer will be deducting from your paycheck for you to have that coverage. Okay. So you know, it might be in those premiums can vary widely from sure. employer okay. to employer. Yeah. And you know, one employer might allow you to be enrolled in their high deductible health plan with no premium, so you're not mm-hmm. paying anything to have that coverage. Mm-hmm. And another employer may be charging you a couple $100 a month for the coverage.
Wow. Yep.
So, yep. And that premium that you're paying out of your paycheck, you know, that's not going toward your deductible or co-insurance right. or anything like that.
You
so,
could literally not visit the doctor at all, and you're still paying.
You're still paying.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the cost to carry in the card in your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Nice.
Well, and I know one of the other terms we often hear with that is that idea of in-network and out-of-network. Mm-hmm. And why might that be something important somebody should consider?
Yeah, so in-network versus out-of-network, your costs are going to be lower if you're staying in your health plan's network. Okay. So, you know, when you enroll in the plan, it'll be through an administrator like Blue Cross Blue Shield or okay. Priority Health or Aetna, and they're going to have their network of providers. And that network of providers is, you know, essentially a list of doctors and specialists that you can go to that work with that health plan, and there's lower rates for you to pay if you're going to in-network providers. You'll get mm-hmm. discounted okay. rates at the provider, and also your deductible will be different if you're going to an in-network versus an out-of-network provider. Okay. So your in-network deductible may be $3,000, but if you're going using out-of-network providers, it may mm-hmm. be $6,000. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's really important to know, you know, what network you're in and make sure that your providers that you're seeing are in that network.
No, it's interesting. It ties back to that consumer idea, right? You have a choice, but mm-hmm. you kind of choose how you manage that money and what you do with that if you're in versus out of network.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good deal. So a couple of more terms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
HSA, FSA, mm-hmm. they sound very similar. But yeah. They're not.
They're essays, like, and they start with different this? Letters. Yeah. What does it mean? Yeah.
So, help us.
Yeah. So HSAs and FSAs. HSA stands for health savings account. FSA stands for flexible spending account. Okay. And what these both are they're tax advantage tools for you to put money away to pay for qualified medical expenses.
Okay.
Now, despite the name, a flexible spending account or an FSA is not flexible at all. It's very rigid. So if you had a choice between an HSA and an FSA, I would say go with the
okay.
HSA.
Okay.
With that FSA plan, you have to say how much you'll be putting into the account each year. And if you don't incur expenses by the end of the year to get reimbursed out of the account, you lose the money.
Ooh.
So
yeah.
Okay. So it's a gamble. Unless you can really forecast mm-hmm. what your medical expenses are going to be,
right.
You know, you could set yourself up for losing money by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas the HSA or the health savings account is a tool that pairs with those high deductible health plans. So if you enroll in that high deductible health plan, the IRS recognizes that you're going to be responsible for a larger chunk of your healthcare expenses mm-hmm. out of the gate each year. Mm-hmm. So they allow you to put tax-free money into this account to help pay for those expenses. Okay. Now, the great thing about the HSA is at the end of the year, if you haven't spent that money, it just stays in the account for you. And it's going to roll over from year to year. It's never going to go away. You can continue to use that money for your qualified medical expenses, whether you put it in this year or 10 years ago, that money mm-hmm. will stay in the account for you.
That's great.
That is. Yeah. So you can build up.
But those only happen yeah. with a high deductible.
That's correct. You can only put the tax-free money into okay. the HSA if you're in that high deductible health plan. Okay. And another thing yeah. to consider when you're looking at, you know, job offers and maybe, yeah. you know, looking at two different health plans, a lot of employers will actually make a contribution to yeah. a health savings account on your behalf. So okay. that might be another thing to kind of look at if you're going through the information on
sure.
Employers' plans.
Yeah, if they're going to put in $1,000 or something, that's...
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's a big
not coming out of your paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And like you said, Brian, yeah. a lot of people are using the HSAs as another kind of like retirement savings vehicle.
Okay.
Like when you retire, which... I know to the listeners that probably seems like a very, very long time away. But you know, your healthcare expenses aren't going to end in retirement. So if you have a yeah. pool of tax-free money to pay for mm-hmm. your,
you
know, the healthcare expenses of right. your future self, then
which likely will be more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You get older, yeah. you tend to inflation, need more
right?
care
yeah, exactly.
and inflation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yeah. Good deal.
Well, with some of that in mind too, how do you know what's covered in a health insurance plan?
Yeah, great question. You just assume everything's covered, right?
Like, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Doctor, that's covered on the plan.
Yeah. You have the card, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yes. Magic.
Yeah. So if you ask your employer for a summary of benefits or a schedule of benefits, that's really going to show you everything that's covered on the plan and how the plan is going to cover different things. So one thing to know is, you know, I've been talking kind of a lot about high deductible health plans and how you're really responsible for a large chunk of your medical expenses up front. A lot of things are considered what's called preventative care. And if you're going to your doctor for your preventative care services, so, you know, your annual physical or your flu shot, you actually don't pay anything for that. So if you're looking at the schedule of benefits and things are listed as preventative care, if you're using an in-network provider, you won't pay anything out of pocket for those.
Okay.
And then it'll also list, you know, things that the plan covers and how they'll be paying for them. So, you know, if you're looking for a plan that has acupuncture, you can look through the schedule of benefits and see if that plan has acupuncture covered. Probably won't, but some plans do.
So, interesting. Okay, cool. That's good to know. What would you suggest someone do if that employer isn't actually offering health insurance?
Ooh, yeah. So if they're not offering health insurance.
And are they allowed to do that, first of all?
That's a great question. Okay. So it depends on the size of the employer and how many hours you're working per week.
Okay.
So it really kind of falls under the rules and regulations of the Affordable Care Act. Which I won't get into the weeds on that.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. But what do you do if they're not, if they're someone who doesn't have to?
Yeah, so if they're not offering health insurance, then really your option's probably going to be looking out at the health insurance marketplace or healthcare.gov.
Okay.
And you can go out there and shop around for individual plans. So a plan that's not through your employer, but you can get a plan for yourself. Or if you're under 26, you know, you're still eligibly covered on a parent's plan.
Good point.
And if you're married, then, you know, your spouse's employer may allow you to be covered on their plan as well.
Yep. Okay. And then do you find that it's pretty common that if you elect not to use your company's insurance coverage because you're still 24 and under your parents' plan, that you actually get some money for doing that?
So that's going to vary widely employer to employer.
Yeah. Is there a term for that? I feel like there's a term for that.
Yeah, usually it's called like a medical credit or an opt-out credit or something like that. So at Grand Valley, we offer that. So, you know, if you're not enrolling in our plan, we give you an additional $750 a year that we add to your paycheck. And yeah, some employers do that, some don't. It really just varies from employer to employer. But yeah, it's definitely something to ask about.
Yeah,
if you know you are still on a parent's plan and don't need it, then see what the employer offers in terms of an opt-out credit.
Cool. Great. And
I was curious, like, as we've thought about all these plans, are there certain elements that you feel like are definitely things you want to look for? So as we've talked about all the different options, like what stands out as a really good plan and things that students should keep in mind?
Yeah. So I would say a reasonable premium. So what are you paying for enrollment in that plan? Keep an eye on the deductible and how things are paid for after the deductible has been met. I didn't mention this earlier, but there's something called coinsurance. So after you meet your deductible, is the plan paying all of your expenses or are they paying a portion of those expenses?
That's
so
a great point.
That's like the 80-20
situation. Yeah. So if if you see something that they say it's, you know, 80% coinsurance, that means after you've met your deductible, they're paying 80%. You're still paying 20% of all of your expenses.
Significant happens, 20% could still be a lot that you need to kind of be prepared.
Exactly. And then you should kind of be looking at what that out of pocket maximum for yourself would be.
Oh, right.
Good point.
Okay.
So, great point.
Yeah. Oof.
Also, what the network in your area looks like. So, you know, if are there, are the hospitals and providers in your area going to be in network for that health plan that you're enrolling in? So, because I mean, that could make a big difference if you can't find in network care. Where you're living, you know, that's going to certainly increase your out-of-pocket costs.
With remote work being such a thing, you might be choosing to work in an entirely different state than where your employer is located. That definitely would be something to make sure.
Absolutely.
You're evaluating.
Mm-hmm. Same if you're on your family's insurance and you're going to stay on there and you're living and working somewhere else. That's a great point.
So that would be something to ask your parents too. If you're going to be relocating post-graduation and you're still on their plan, is there a network where I'm moving to if I am staying on your coverage?
Okay. That's great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I think that was a great little bit on health insurance. I want to make sure we talk about retirement plans, though. So kind of a similar question is what I started with health insurance, but what are the types of retirement plans? Why would an employer use a 401k as opposed to something else? Mm-hmm. Talk us through it.
Yeah. So with retirement plans, you're going to hear a couple different types thrown around. Yeah. Usually, you know, 401k, that's the one you're going to hear most.
Yep.
You'll also hear 403b,
that's right.
457b. You'd think there'd be some type of like exciting reason they're named these. Yes. It's simply the line of the tax code that the rules for the plans fall under. Okay. And why might an employer offer one versus another? Yeah. It depends on the type of employer you are. So government institutions have 457Bs, nonprofits have 403Bs, and for-profit companies have 401Ks.
No, that's pretty simple, actually.
I always thought the 401K, there's the K. I thought it was like the periodic element for gold is K. Ooh, like that's where my mind went.
Yes.
And, and then I was really disappointed when I found out that no, it's just a tax code thing.
Bummer.
Well, with that, sometimes when you think about employer kind of contribution, you hear the term employer match.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define that?
Yeah, so employer match is going to be what the employer is putting into that plan on your behalf. So sometimes the employer is just going to say, you know, no matter what, if you're putting anything in or not, we're going to put in X percent.
Okay.
Some employers will say, we'll match up to 4%, for instance. So if you're putting in 4% of your own money, we're going to put 4% in for you as well. So you'll get a total of 8%. So
of your total salary, the 4%, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So so if you're making a 4% contribution, it would be 4% of your pay each pay period, and then they would also do 4%. So if they're offering a match, I would certainly encourage you to take advantage of that. Otherwise, you're kind of leaving money on the table.
Literal free money.
That is a great point.
Well, included in the package, but feels feels free.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, with retirement plans, are there ones that you're like, ooh, this is gold standard, like it should definitely have an employer match? Are there other things like an employer match that would contribute to being a good retirement plan? I guess basically if a student or someone is evaluating their company's plan, what should they be caring about and looking for?
I mean, really the biggest thing they should be looking for is that match. Outside of that, the differences are going to come into like the type of investments that are available within each type of plan, which that can kind of be hard to get your hands on, full disclosure, before you, you know, actually, you know,
that makes sense.
On board.
Yes.
But I mean, usually they're going to be kind of similar. I don't think you're going to see too much, something that's really going to drive you from one job to another based on like investment options or something.
Cool.
But yeah, once you do get enrolled, things to look for are, a lot of plans might have like a dedicated certified financial planner for you to meet with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, signing up for a plan, putting money away, that's great. Are you putting your money in the right investments?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? It's like throwing a dart at a board, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's professionals that can help you with that. And your
who
plan
do the
might
research for you.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. That's right.
Yeah. They, they can meet with you and let you know where you should be looking for that. So that'd be something to ask a potential employer is, you know, is there somebody I can meet with for investment advice on the retirement plan?
Great.
You know, and I think when, especially with students, as you're first starting out, or even like young professionals, the idea of saving for a future that is 30 years away is a hard thing to kind of grasp. But wonder if you can kind of talk about the importance of starting to save early on.
Oh, it's so important. And it's funny the way you phrased that question, you know, thinking of that future. I went to a conference a few years ago and it was about talking to, you know, young people coming into the workplace. And when you say savings for retirement, that sounds like just such a foreign concept. It's so far away. So like phrasing it as like saving for your future self.
Oh, I like that.
Better way to think about
that.
So yeah, when I'm putting money away, I'm like, future Nick's going to be happy I did this. But yeah, the importance of starting early. You know, I think there's two big things to look at with this. The first is kind of the financial aspect of it and compounding interest or compounding earnings. So, you know, let's say you put $100 into the retirement plan this year. If it makes 10%, then it's $110 next year.
Yeah.
Makes 10% again, then the earnings are earning on themselves.
That's
so
right.
It just kind of continues to grow at an exponential rate. So the longer that money can be in there, the more it's going to be by the time you retire.
Okay.
So yeah, it can really grow. And there's some interesting statistics, like if you go and look, if like somebody who starts saving $10,000 a year at the age of 25 and stops when they reach the age of 40, would have the same amount of money when they retire as somebody who started saving at like 35 and put $10,000 a year until 65. Whoa. Just because of those like extra years to sit and grow on themselves. Yeah. So, and then the other really important aspect of this, I think, is just getting that good habit. So, you know, just kind of training yourself to put that money in and, you know, it's not in your check, so you don't miss it. You know, when it's a deduction coming out of your pay, it seems less painful than, you know, if it's in your bank account and then you're transferring
it. And then you have to transfer it.
Yeah, exactly. So just kind of like getting it set up. Just that way you don't even see it's going and it's working for you.
Such
and
a great point.
You don't have to think about it. So,
so true. It really is just kind of invisibly going in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's like a pleasant surprise when you go check on it. Yes. Like, oh, it's growing.
Absolutely.
This is happening. Mm-hmm. What about students who might be scared, like, ooh, do I really want to put, you know, this much money into what can be a volatile market?
Yeah. That's
but maybe talk about how over time
exactly
looks like
historically the market always goes up, so there's you know dips and peaks and but just generally it's going to go up.
So if you're talking the course of a career,
of a career, that's still gonna earn on itself
even if there's a recession,
even if right
whatever.
Now it's bad. Kind of the other way to look at it is if it's bad right now, you're getting more for less.
Yeah.
So when the market's high, you know, the shares that you're buying are more
expensive.
Valuable. So that, you know,
$20
you're putting in is buying less. Right now when the market's low, that $20 is buying more. Huh. And when it grows, you'll have, you know, more earnings potential with that.
It's well said.
Yeah. Good to think about. Yeah. Awesome. Well, anything we didn't cover that you feel like we should have asked you? Or did we catch it?
You know, I think we covered a lot of good topics.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think when you're looking at a potential employer, you know, don't just kind of look at that baseline salary. Really take into account the value of the benefits and look at what your total compensation is going to be, not just the salary, but the add in the retirement contributions you might be getting, subtract out any premiums you might be paying for the medical plan, and really see what that kind of bottom line number is going to be for you after you factor those into the salary.
Awesome. I love that. I think that's a great place to stop for today. Okay. So we really appreciate your expertise here, Nick. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. And thanks to everyone for listening. We hope you tune in to a future episode soon.